We're glad that you're here with us, and we appreciate the presence of the Lord. We have been in the midst of a series of messages that we have called Things That Matter. And this morning, if you would like to read with me the verses that the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 9. So Matthew chapter 6, and begin reading with verse number 9. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be reading the words of Jesus this morning. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Pay particular attention to verse 12. "And forgive us our debts." Luke says, "Forgive us our trespasses." Matthew says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or those that trespass against us. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then he says, Jesus says to them, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses." Now I'm going to stop reading right there this morning and ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together, all right? Father, we're thankful this morning, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given to us to come and join ourselves together in united worship. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that we feel here in this place. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is from everlasting to everlasting. I readily confirm and admit of my own self, Lord, I can do nothing. I readily admit that I am incapable. But I would ask you this morning to grant unto me the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak what you would have me to speak. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely anoint my thoughts, that you would anoint what is spoken through these lips of clay, that you will direct me and that you will anoint me and that you will give me divine capability to speak as an instrument in your hand. And Father, I ask this morning, Lord, that you would glorify the name of Jesus and that you would edify the body of Christ, whether they're here in this congregation this morning or whether they are listening by the internet. I pray that you would speak to their hearts and that you would empower what is spoken. Touch them with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Bless me now to be a blessing. Let your name be lifted up, and we will ask these things in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Look at somebody that's sitting next to you this morning and tell them forgiveness matters. Forgiveness matters. So I want to continue the series that we have started, and we have spoken four different messages. Today will be the fifth message that we have shared with you. The first message that we shared with you, we talked about endurance. We talked about the fact that we need to have endurance or fortitude or tenacity. Because there are going to be some moments and times in our life when we are going to have to, as I said in that message, suck it up, Bubba, and pull our boots on by our bootstraps and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. When we hit hard times, we got two choices. We can give up or we can just keep moving forward. Endurance matters, and Paul said that we are to run this race, this Christian race. We are to run this race with endurance. The second message that we spoke of and that we talked about, the second message that we spoke of was vision matters. And the Bible said that without a vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, where there is no focus, where there is no goal, people will cast off restraint, or there is no self-control. We need to have a vision. We need to know where we are going. The third message that I spoke was about unity. And unity matters, and we are instructed in the Word of God to keep the unity of the Spirit. We must come to the place where we are walking united around the cause of Christ. The fourth message that we spoke was last week, and we spoke about the Bible, how the Bible teaches us that we are to walk in a spirit of love. Jesus said these words in John chapter 13 and verse number 35. He said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So prayerfully, we have learned over the past few weeks that endurance matters, that vision matters, that unity matters, and that love matters. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of forgiveness, because the Bible makes it extremely clear that forgiveness matters. Forgiveness matters. Forgiveness is not something, amen, that we can just bypass, but it is absolutely and indisputably and critically a part of the teaching of Jesus Christ. We find here in our text that Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. The disciples come to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus begins to speak to them and to give them instruction how that they should pray. And he gets to that middle part. He says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us." And then that portion of that prayer is so vitally important that Jesus takes the time, after he has instructed them how to pray, he takes the time to tell them in verse number 14 and verse number 15, "For if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also not forgive you of your trespasses." And he said, "I want you to make sure you understand what I'm talking about." So he says, "But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours." Those two verses reveal something very vital to us this morning. Those two single verses reveal something that's very vital to us concerning forgiveness. Number one, it teaches us that we all need to be forgiven. And number two, it teaches us that we all need to be forgiving. Hello? We all need to be forgiven. And we all need to be forgiving. And let me just tell you, this is a very critical point. Because Jesus said, if we are not forgiving, we will not be forgiven. I will just, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to make eye contact with anybody. But how many of you need forgiveness? I have faced a few times in my life, more than once, that I needed the forgiveness of God. And God says to us and to me that if I am not forgiving, he will not be forgiving to me. So understand that those two scriptures reveal to us that we must both stand in need, or that we all stand in need of being forgiven, and that we must all stand ready to be forgiving. Vitally important. Two aspects of forgiveness that Jesus teaches here. The first aspect that I want us to consider this morning is the fact that we all need to be forgiven. We all need to be forgiven. Now, there are some people in this world that think if you just try to do the right thing and live a good life, that they'll make it. Well, let me just tell you this morning, that is not biblical. Here's what's biblical. The Bible makes it very clear that we all stand in need of being forgiven by God's grace. Some people think, well, you know, if I just try to do the right thing, live the best life that I can, do what I can, be a good person, I'll make it into heaven. That's Oscar Mayer theology. That is baloney. Not going to happen. Because your goodness cannot save you. Your good deed, the Bible said that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Here's what the Bible does teach. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, the Bible said that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me, that includes you. And literally in the Greek, that carries with it the notion that we are all continually falling short. We are all continually falling short of the glory of God. What are you saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying I gave my heart to Jesus many years ago. I repented of my sin, but I did so again this morning as I drove down to the church because I am continually falling short of God's glory. I am continually falling short of His expectations of me. You hear what I'm saying? We all need to continually seek God's glory. And yes, we are saved, but let me just tell you, we also make mistakes. And the Bible said that if we're willing to confess those sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So understand that we all have sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that does good and does not sin." Nobody. When the Bible says whosoever, we always go, "That includes me." Well, there is not a righteous man upon the earth that does good and does not sin, and that includes you and me. We all stand in need of forgiveness. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Scripture said in Psalms 130 and verse number 3 and verse number 4, the psalmist said, "If the Lord should mark iniquities among us, then who among us could stand?" In other words, if God took a ledger and began to write down all of the things that we've done, amen, who among us wouldn't have something on our ledger? All of us would. All of us would. Listen to John, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him." This is the message that we have heard of Jesus. "And declare unto you that in God, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Listen to what he said. "If we say that we have fellowship with him," if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you think, you know, that you can just say, well, you know, I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't hang around those that do, you know, I've tried to live a good life, I've just tried to be honest. Let me just tell you, you are deceiving yourself, because we have all sinned and come short of God's glory. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say that we have no sin, we are calling God a liar. That's what he's saying. He's saying that if you want to stick to your story, and that's my story and I'm sticking to it, if you want to say you don't require forgiveness and you don't need forgiveness, you are calling God a liar, because God says you do. He said, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So understand this morning that the scripture makes it abundantly clear. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that we all need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness, and we cannot work our way to salvation. There are those this morning that think their good works are going to save them. The Bible is very clear that our good works and our good deeds cannot save us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And then Paul wrote, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means that you cannot work your way to heaven by doing good. Your good deeds will perish with you in hell if you do not repent and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. I'm glad I got an amen on that. The truth of the matter is that we all need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. And here's a piece of good news. God offers it to us. Here's a piece of good news this morning. I call John 3:16 the golden text of the Bible. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. And I don't think we ought to quote 16 unless we quote 17. And verse number 17 says that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, God said, I know you are in a fallen condition, and I know that you are in a sinful state, but I love you so much that I'm going to send my son all the way to Calvary, and he will make a way that we could be reunited in fellowship together. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is not something that stands afar off. Forgiveness just simply means that we need to recognize our need and call upon the name of Jesus. And it's that easy. It's that easy. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, this is God speaking. He says, come. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white like wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Amen. That's what our God says to us. We have sometimes this picture of God, this old man sitting in heaven waiting to blow us out of the saddle when we mess up. It couldn't be further from the truth. God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Hallelujah. I am standing here ready to forgive. I know you can't pay the debt, but my son already paid the debt, and you can go free. Amen, amen, amen. Psalms 103, verse number 12, the scripture said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our iniquities from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, maybe you know, if you take off walking west and just keep walking, you will just be in an, I mean, just an everlasting, you're like a squirrel in a cage. It's just, amen, because you'll never catch up with the west. He's saying, I've removed your iniquities that far away. You'll never catch up with them. The devil will try to remind you of them, but God says, I will remove them as far as the east is from the west. I am willing to forgive. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, God says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. I'm not going to tell you all my business, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've done some stuff in my past. I've told the congregation around here many times, I have not always been a preacher. And I am so grateful that God has forgiven me and removed my iniquity as far as the east is from the west, and never to be remembered against me anymore. Let me just tell you something. If God has forgiven me, then who are you to be bringing up my past? Hello? Somebody go, well, did you hear what they did? And they start talking about it. No. Even let me just tell you, if God has already forgiven me and forgot about it, then who do you think you are bringing it up? Amen. Hello? We all need forgiveness. The truth is, we were born into a fallen world and we were born with a fallen nature. And we all stand in need of God's grace. We all stand in need of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you this morning that there at Calvary, the blood was shed so that you and I might go free. And now God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've got a brand new slate and a brand new start. Amen. We must be born again. We must be washed in the blood of Christ. We must seek forgiveness at the foot of Calvary. The Bible says that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only avenue through which we can find forgiveness of sin. And now let us consider the second aspect of forgiveness. The second aspect that I want to talk about this morning is our need to be forgiving. Because if we have come to Christ, we have received God's amazing grace and God's wonderful salvation, and we have received God's forgiveness. And now, again, I'll point you back to verse 14 and verse 15. So important were the words of Jesus. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That at the end of the prayer, he stops to point out to them, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you yours. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Plainly spoken, it just means if you don't forgive, he won't forgive. Hello? So, now here's where it gets complicated. Because thank God he's willing to forgive, but sometimes we find it awful hard to be forgiving. We love that part about being forgiven. We're like, yes, praise God. But We need to also understand that now that we have been forgiven, he's going to require that we be forgiving. Jesus and his disciples, one day Peter comes to him. His disciples are gathered together. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 18. Peter says to Jesus, and I'm sure Peter was sincere. He says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then Peter threw out his own number. He says, 7 times. And understand that Peter was being very generous, because in the Jewish tradition, they would forgive 3 times, and after that you were a heretic. So Peter was doubling it plus one. Peter is saying, how often should I allow my brother to sin against me or offend me and I be forgiving? 7 times? And Jesus said, no. 7 times 70. Now, just to keep you from doing the math or pulling out your little phone calculator, 490. And really what he is saying, he's not giving you a number. He's not giving you a definitive number. That's it and no more. No, what he's really doing is telling us that we need to have a forgiving spirit. That we need to be forgiving as our Father in heaven is forgiving. And then Jesus launches into this parable and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who had a servant that owed him a great deal of money. The king sat down one day and he began to reckon who owed him what. And he came across this servant's name. And the Bible says that this particular servant owed him 10,000 talents. Now understand 10,000 talents. Understand that was like billions of dollars. This was a very large sum. This was an insurmountable amount of money. And so the king calls his servant and said, I want you to pay me what you owe me. And the servant says, I don't have the funds. I don't have what it takes to pay this debt. And so the king, the Bible said, commanded that this man, his family, his wife, and everything that he owed be sold, and then the debt paid. And the servant fell down at the king's feet. And the Bible said that the servant worshiped him and said, please have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. I can't pay this. But if you have mercy upon me and give me some time, I'll pay what I owe you. And the Bible said that the king looked at this individual and said, debt canceled. He had compassion upon him. And he said, I'm just going to forgive the whole thing. Go on your way. You don't owe me a dime. Now, let me just tell you, that is a picture of us trying to pay our sin debt. We owed a debt that we could not pay. And he paid a debt that he did not owe. And he did so for us. Now, here's where it gets a little sticky. This same servant who had been forgiven so much, he had been forgiven this large amount. He goes out and he finds a fellow servant that owes him, the Bible said, just pence. It means just 100 pence. It means just pennies. Just a small amount, and he demands payment. And he says, you give me what you owe me, or I will throw you into the prison until you pay up. And this servant who owed the pennies to the other servant, he says to him, have mercy upon me. I can't pay it right now, but if you'll give me some time, I'll pay the debt that I owe. It's just a matter of pennies. It's not that much, but just give me a little time. And the servant that had been forgiven so very much looked at the other servant. Instead of having compassion upon him, he had him thrown in jail and put to the tormentors until he could pay the debt off. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible said that the other servants of the king found out about this man's actions. And they went to the king and they said, "Hey, you forgave him all of this debt. And yet he is not willing to forgive even a small amount of debt." The Bible says that the servants went out and they told the king at what happened. And the Lord called for the first servant to come. And in verse 32 of chapter 18, the book of Matthew, this is what he says. He says, "Oh, you wicked servant. Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you desired it of me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant? And should you not have had pity on him like I had pity on you?" And the Bible says that the Lord, or the king, the Lord was wroth with him, and he delivered him to the tormentors, and he said he'll not come out of there until he pays his debt. Amen. And Jesus said, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your heart you do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses." The point is that we have all experienced God's grace. We have all experienced God's forgiveness. And now he says, "Freely you have received, and now I am going to require that you freely give." Forgiveness matters. God not only is willing to be forgiving to us, but he expects us to be forgiving to others. This is what Paul teaches. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and this is what he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. He said, "Be ye kind one to another, and be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's how I want you to live. I want you to live being kind-hearted and being forgiving. Even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake, then you be forgiving to others. He wrote to the church in Colossae, Paul, and he writes in chapter 3, verse 12, and he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness and humbleness of mind, and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man or woman, if any man have a quarrel against someone else, even as Christ forgave you, then you forgive them." I said forgiveness matters. Forgiveness matters. It is critical for us and our walk with God. Since we are commanded to forgive, and since we have been forgiven, it is vital for us to understand that the clear meaning of the word forgiveness and what it actually means. When we talk about forgiveness, what does it actually mean? We know that we have been forgiven and we know that we need to be forgiving, but what does that look like in the real world? And I have often said sometimes the best way to determine what something is to determine what it is not. So first of all, let me just share with you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. Let that sink into your spirit for a minute. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. You may say, "Pastor Gary, someone did me wrong and I just can't forget about it." Good news, you're not required to forget about it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with forgetting. Just you say you just can't forget about it, the way they acted or what they said, but just understand that forgiveness is not about forgetting about it. We often quote the passage in Philippians where Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. We've all heard that scripture, right? Forgetting those things that are behind. Let me just share with you something this morning. Paul was not talking about forgetting those things that are behind in the sense that we were never to remember them. Paul was not saying that we need to, you know, develop some kind of spiritual Alzheimer's and we forget about it. He wasn't saying that we were to forget those things in the sense that we are to put it out of our mind. How many of you know you're going to sometimes have to deal with bad memories? People are going to lash out. People are going to do things and people are going to say things. And if you allow yourself, you will become offended. And you may never forget what they said. But the good news is that forgiving has nothing to do with forgetting. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind in the sense of letting go, releasing, not removing it from our mind, but letting go of it. Stop holding on to it. Turn loose of it. Forget it, release, forgetting those things that are behind. They no longer matter. I'm going to let go of that. I'm going to release that. I'm going to turn loose of that. I'm not going to allow that thing to determine my future. I'm not going to allow that thing to determine my success. I'm not going to let it hold me back. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to turn loose of it. There are two basic Greek words in the New Testament that are translated to forgive. And they both literally mean to let go or to cancel a debt. Some of you sitting here this morning, someone has offended you, someone has mistreated you, someone has done you wrong, and you just can't let it go. I came to tell you this morning that it's not about forgetting, it's about turning loose of it. It's about releasing it. It's about letting it go and going on with God. If you get hung up at the hangout, you will always be at the hangout. But I got some good news for you. God wants to take you a little further down the road and bless your life anyhow. People cannot, amen. I've always said that you can't determine what people will do, but you can determine how you react to it. You can't help what people are going to say or what people are going to do, but you have a choice in the matter of how you are going to respond. Yes, they may have hurt you. Yes, they may have wronged you. And yes, they may deserve judgment. And they may deserve justice. And they may deserve recompense. But God's word for us and God's word for his church is let it go. Release it. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. It's about letting go. It's about turning it loose. It's about releasing them and canceling their debt, just as our debt has been canceled. Just as our debt has been canceled. Forgiveness is about moving on with our life. Because I promise you, if you allow it, unforgiveness will turn to bitterness. And bitterness will take root in your heart and cause anger and malice. And let me just tell you, it will mess you up. Every time somebody's name is mentioned, your blood pressure rises. Bless God. Hello? Let it go. Let it go. What does forgiveness look like in the real world? We've learned from Jesus that it is essential. We have all experienced it, and if we don't offer it to others, then we ourselves will perish in our sin. So, Pastor Gary, how can I find it in my heart to be forgiving to those that have wronged me. Let me share with you a quick biblical definition of forgiveness and just tell you what it looks like. The first thing that I believe forgiveness looks like is, number one, we must resist revenge. We're all the same. When somebody does us wrong or steps on our toes, we want to get in their face, right? We want to defend ourselves. You know, when somebody, you know, does us wrong, we want to get back at them. And sometimes we just replay it over and over and over and over and over and over and over in our mind. And then if they've said that, I should have said this. Right? Well, the first thing that forgiveness looks like is we need to resist revenge. Let me give you some scripture for that. Romans 12:19. Paul writes and he says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." The God's Word translation says it this way: don't take revenge, dear friends. Instead, let God's anger take care of it. You hear that? When somebody does you wrong, release it. Give it to God. Instead, let God's anger take care of it. After all, the scripture says, I alone, God is speaking, I alone have the right to take revenge, and I will pay back, says the Lord. God is saying, if you will turn loose of it and let it go, you're putting it in my hands, and I will take care of it. Let me just tell you that God is a gentleman, and as long as you are holding on to your offense, he will let you hold it. He will not intervene. He will stay out of your way. But if you let it go and put it in the hands of God and release it, the Holy Spirit will appeal to heaven's court and say, hey, there's been an injustice done here. And God says, don't you worry about it. I will see to it that they reap what they sow. Some people call it karma. God says it's reaping or sowing and reaping. Can you say amen? Amen. God said, don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry about trying to defend yourself. Don't worry about trying to, amen, hold up your name. You just keep on with the right spirit. Keep walking right. Keep living right. Keep serving me. Keep striving to live a righteous life in me and keep striving to draw closer to me and let it go and I will take care of it. I will see to it that they receive the just rewards of their deeds. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Proverbs 24:29 says, say not, I will do to him as he has done to me. That is our first response, right? Proverbs 24:29 says, say not, I will do to him as he has done to me, and I will render to every man according to his works. God says, no, 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 no. Don't say that. You let me handle it. Don't try to take revenge. So number one, forgiveness is resisting revenge. Number two, we must not return evil for evil. You know, this keeping score, the tit for tat kind of thing. You know, like, well, they got me, but I'm going to get them back kind of thing. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil. Amen. The third thing that forgiveness looks like is we must be willing to wish them well. I told you a couple of weeks ago that if there was one verse that I could take out of the Bible, it would be, you know, the one that says, love your enemies and pray for them to despitefully use you. I don't like that one. Right? That's what he says. He says, you have to, forgiveness says, I'm going to wish them well. I want to see them blessed. Jesus said in Luke 6:27, he says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. That's what forgiveness looks like. That's how forgiveness behaves. It says, okay, you have done me wrong. You have injured me. You have stepped on my toes. You have offended me. But I am going to pray for you and love you anyway. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul said, bless them that persecute you and bless and not curse. The fourth thing, this is what forgiveness looks like. The fourth thing is not to rejoice in their calamity. How many of you have ever had someone that, you know, did you wrong, said something, and then you sat back and watched them get theirs? And you're like, yeah. What goes around comes around, baby. Yeah. Nope, wrong attitude. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 17 and verse number 18. It says, rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when they stumble. Lest the Lord, listen to this part, lest the Lord see it and be displeased. God is saying, hey, don't rejoice over the calamities of your enemies or those that have done you wrong. Because if you have that kind of, yep, yes, God, I knew you'd come around to you, buddy. If you have that kind of attitude, God says, I will see it and I won't be displeased with you. Don't have that kind of attitude. Number five, pray for their welfare. Pray for their welfare. We must pray for their welfare. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Again, Jesus says, bless your enemies and curse them and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And Jesus is our most premier example. He is dying on the cross, stretched out, nailed to a tree, blood running down his face and his back. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Acts chapter 7. The Bible tells a story of about a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said there came a day when he preached to a bunch of Jewish folks that were around, and they didn't like his message, and so they picked up a bunch of rocks and they started stoning him. And before Stephen died and left this world, he said the same thing. Amen. He said, no, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Don't lay it to their charge. Forgive them. Amen. What Stephen was saying was, I forgive them. We need to have that kind of attitude, that kind of motivation. Number six, we need to seek to be reconciled. We need to seek to be reconciled. Understand, and I'm going to say this really carefully this morning, understand that forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. Forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. And the reason why is because it takes two parties to be reconciled. And while one may be willing, the other may not be. You hear what I'm saying? So forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. People cannot be reconciled in their disagreements unless both parties are willing to come together on a common ground and move forward in love and move forward in Christ. This is what we are commanded to do. This is what we are commanded to do. Romans 12, 18. Paul said these words. He says, if it be possible, if it be possible, and the only thing that makes it impossible is the other individual, because you can control your side of the possibility. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What Paul is saying is, as much as it lies within you, endeavor to be reconciled with those that you have had a falling out. I will tell you right now this morning, I have experienced a falling out in my life And I have endeavored to be reconciled and endeavored to reach out and endeavored to make things amended. And I was accused of things that I didn't even do. And yet I reached out because I love and I want to forgive and I want to have a right attitude and a right spirit. But I can tell you right now, even though that you endeavor to reach out and you endeavor to walk in love and endeavor to walk in a forgiving attitude, reconciliation cannot happen unless both parties decide to come together and make it right. Forgiveness. What does it look like? Forgiveness is the miracle of a new beginning. Forgiveness is to start right where you are, turning loose of the past and moving forward in the future with a pure heart and a clean conscience before God. Let me just tell you, my grandmother used to say that you cannot cry over spilt milk. What's done is already done. But you got a choice, mama. Amy, you got a choice this morning. You can either sorrow and you can wallow in your pity, or you can get up and let it go and continue to move forward and let God bless your life moving on. Forgiveness is being able to hold out your right hand of fellowship to the offender. Forgiveness does not deny the past or even forget the past, but forgiveness is a willingness to take the initiative in dealing with any barriers that may arise against having a restored relationship. Forgiveness means that I'm willing to have a relationship with the other party, amen, based upon a Christian love and not about what happened in the past. Forgiveness matters. Forgiveness matters because it affects our health. It affects our health. It raises blood pressure, lowers the immune system. It's a spiritual thing inside of us, but if we allow it to get in us and we allow unforgiveness to dominate in our heart, it will affect us on the outside. Forgiveness affects our relationship with God. If you don't forgive, He will not forgive. Next time you blow it in a major way and you go to the Lord saying, Lord, forgive me, you might just want to say, and Lord, help me be forgiving. Help me to have a right spirit. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. Forgiveness matters because it matters because to refuse to forgive others, for us to refuse to forgive others is basically saying, Lord, treat me the same way that I treat them. Right? Lord, treat me the same way that I treat them. Forgiveness matters. It has no limits. Not 7 times, not 70 times 70. Amen. It has no limits. Why? Because God has no limits on us. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't have limits on us messing up? I would have run my bucket of limits out a long time ago. No, but the Bible said that every morning His mercies are renewed every morning. Every day He shows up at my house with a whole truckload of benefits. Hallelujah. Amen. He shows up with a whole new truckload of mercy and forgiveness and grace that is just abundant. I mean, you know, He said, where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. It matters. Because there are no limits to God's grace and God's mercy, and God desires for us to be that forgiving. Forgiveness matters. It matters because if we refuse to forgive others, God will not forgive us. And if we refuse to forgive others, He will not hear our prayers or accept our worship. And all of those things simply become a lip service if we are harboring unforgiveness in our life. Forgiveness matters because if we refuse to forgive, it shows our lack of knowledge and our lack of understanding of God's grace. Forgiving others matters to God, and that's why forgiveness matters. for us. This morning, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you endeavoring to maintain a relationship with the Lord and yet you are being unforgiving towards someone else? Are you endeavoring to ask God to forgive you of your sins and your iniquities and have mercy and grace upon your life, and yet you are trying to cause somebody else to toe the line? Are you trying to withhold your forgiveness from them? Forgiveness matters. Bow your heads, please, if you will, all over the building today. Bow your heads, if you will. Are we trying to have a relationship with God while we are harboring unforgiveness? I tell you this morning, we need to let it go. We need to let it go. Can God really step into that kind of situation and bring around a reconciliation and a change? If we allow Him to. If we allow Him to. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, this message this morning is often a tough pill to swallow. We want your forgiveness, but oftentimes we want to withhold our forgiveness of others. Help us to understand that the two are tied together. Help us understand that the two are connected, and that if we do not forgive, our Father will not forgive. But if we are willing to release it and let it go, then God is willing to cancel our debt as well. Touch our hearts here this morning, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around here this morning. How many of you here would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message today? Because I got some unforgiveness in my spirit. I've got some attitudes towards some folks. Pastor Gary, there's a couple of things I need to let go of this morning. There's some things I need to turn loose of this morning. There's some things that have been holding me back. I need to turn it loose. Yeah, God sees you. Hands being lifted all over the building here this morning. God sees your hands. God sees your hands. Tell Him about it, will you please? Just take a moment right now. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we are just waiting patiently upon the Spirit of the Lord. Just tell Him about it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been withholding my forgiveness. And now I realize that that will cause you to withhold your forgiveness from me. I've been trying to hold others accountable and wanting to be free myself. I have this large debt that I can't pay. And really, in the grand scheme of things, what they said, what they did, it really doesn't matter. It wasn't all that big of a deal. And this morning, I just want to turn it loose. I just want to let it go. I just want to let it go. And I ask you to help me. Because I realized this morning, Lord, that forgiveness matters. Father, in Jesus' name, you saw every single hand that was lifted here today. Help us be willing and obedient to apply your word to our lives. Even the tough parts. Help us to apply your word to our lives that we might be set free. That we might be set free. Lord, we just release that unforgiveness this morning. We release that in the name of Jesus. And we turn it loose and let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. Here's what I want you to do. If you lifted your hand, I just want you to take a deep breath. And then I just want you to blow it out. Just let it go. Let it go. I release it now. I release it now. I release it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release the anointing of your Holy Spirit to break every bondage. Break every yoke. Break every chain. Break every bondage in Jesus' name. And let your people go free. Let your people go free in the mighty name of the Lord, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.